kids watch Bluey. Bitcoin ordinals, yeah, I do it chewy. Kyle on FX, Web3, Gamer Flex. Kids think I'm cool, but I just pay the checks. Digit dance, living on the edge. Diapers in crypto, making our pledge. From Bitcoin blocks to NFT stacks, we're riding Web3 and never looking back. Hey, we're the Digit Dads, diapers in Defi. Two crypto nerds just trying to get by.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Degen Dads podcast. We are live pretty much everywhere you can possibly think of. Twitter, YouTube, even live on the arena today. What's up, everybody that's watching from the arena? Kyle and I both have been on the arena since it pretty much pivoted to AVAX, and I got bought over by Jason. Great platform over there. Great to finally be joining in. We have a lot to talk about today. Mainly, it is a little dovish, you know, speaking of which, we're going to talk about the rate cuts, Jerome Powell's speech, how the Bitcoin Santa rally got canceled, of course. But we have some fun things to talk about first, you know, in there. A little AI conversation to begin with. Disney is investing $1 billion in OpenAI as part of a three-year licensing deal. They're going to basically allow OpenAI to, and I'll share my screen here, they're going to allow them to use over 200 characters from Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, and Pixar. What do you think about this, Kyle?
Absolutely nuts. We discussed this a little bit before the podcast, but interesting move considering they like were trying to go after OpenAI in the beginning, and now they're like, let's drop $1 billion on it. So I thought that was like interesting move by them. We gotta click over here. There we go. So yeah, just very interesting move here. I think it's a smarter thing to do, 3D chess move. I think what they were doing earlier in the beginning phases was like a little 2D, like mid-curving it. But this, I think, is going to benefit them long run. They know it. They know AI is inevitable. They can't stop it. It's Pandora's box. So you might as well, if you can't beat them, join them. And we know that the government's pushing like all these AI companies to absorb everyone's data anyways, because it's the only way the US can stay like number one in AI is to literally just absorb all the data. So yeah, Disney can't do much there. So if you can't beat him, join him.
I do like this guy's comment saying, imagine paying so much money to completely devalue your own IP. It's ironic to me because the first few days that Sora was up and running, you could actually do whatever you wanted. There's people making full South Park episodes. There's people making already Star Wars stuff and whatever, but all these companies were like, yo, we don't want you using our IP like that. Like cease and desist, take it down, or we're going to sue you. Right. I guess they didn't lose any lawsuits, but now it's like so much reverse that it's like, hey, we'll pay you $1 billion in order to, and so that you can use our IP inside your app. Like how did that take a 180 so quickly, man?
Yeah. Again, if you can't beat them, join them. It's an uphill battle for Disney. The government's in full support of like AI supremacy for the U.S. and that's Disney and like absorbing all the IP. And I think brands are starting to figure out that these creators that are using kind of their IP, even if it's not like super direct, or even if it is direct, that it's actually bringing more awareness to their brand in a way that they couldn't do before. It's making their brand more immersive. You know, people are out there, they enjoy Darth Vader. They might make some cool Darth Vader funny content with. That's, you know, mostly appropriate. And that furthers their brand. It gives them more visibility that they didn't have before. That's more impressions, more eyeballs. And, you know, if you're going to go after creators for creating something cool, funny, that just doesn't look good on your audience, because it's ultimately your super fans that are going out there using your IP in a unique, fun way that is actually interesting. And I think brands are starting to figure this out and they're like, you know what, we're not going to win this battle. And we might as well, if we can't beat them, let's join them kind of mentality. And I think that's the right move. I don't think it's devaluing their IP. I think that's like an extreme view on more of the corporate, you know, if you're more into the corporate side of things and, you know, if you're a corpo, then I would look at it that way too. But I just think it's a losing battle. I think that brands are ultimately, when doing something like this, is a better move in my opinion.
All right. Yeah. I think I agree with you, but yes, Kurt. Crazy. What's up?
I want to give a quick shout out. We got a lot of people on the arena chat right now. We have AVAX Bro just followed us. Thanks for the follow. He also tipped us, or I think, or yeah, he's a king tipper right now. So shout out to AVAX Bro. Leon also tipped us over there. Much appreciated. Yeah, we have a busy chat over there right now. Ayo. ACDC followed us. Thanks for the follow.
I'll see that.
Much appreciated. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Yeah,
we have questions coming in and comments coming in from the arena as well.
Heck yeah. All right, man. Well, time for some crypto stuff. As I stated at the beginning, you would think that the market was going to get that Santa rally. We had the Fed cut rates by 25 basis points, which was expected. Bitcoin and Ethereum, I mean, Bitcoin was touched like 94 and Ethereum was not quite 35, but around there. It was looking good. Even Keyboard Monkey, whatever his name is, KBW, who's like typically bearish, was like, yo, like we actually might get a rally, you know, till the end of the year. And then just all of a sudden, it just like reversed and we're back below. Bitcoin's back below 90K. Ethereum still holding above 3K, but at 31, all of the other alts are just getting like hammered. Like it's awful. Cardano down 11% on the last 24 hours. And of course, like, I don't know. My confusion here is like, we all expected Powell to be like hawkish. Like, I don't think anybody expected otherwise. So it's just kind of crazy how like, things just play out exactly the way you expect them to play out. And the market's like, oh my gosh, you know, these exact things weren't said. And the market just absolutely just getting murdered. Now I do like Bitcoin is still holding that support pretty well. We haven't seen what, I think it touched 86 or like last month at some point, but ultimately, I mean, we haven't really seen a clean break below like 86K. So I think as long as it holds that, we're possibly looking good. But I don't know. You're more on the TA side than me, Kyle. I mean, we just saw that Bitcoin ETS recorded their strongest performance since November 21st on Wednesday. We had 223 million in net inflows as the U.S. Federal Reserve declared it would cut interest rates. But somehow, some way, that all those millions of dollars just got absolutely absorbed, and we're back where we started before that day. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, you know, I got a Rao Paul video coming up here shortly, but I don't necessarily agree with everything he says all the time, but I do agree with the fact, and this was at like Solana Breakpoint he was talking about, you know, 4-year cycle is actually the 5-year cycle now. But yeah, I don't know if I agree with the 5-year cycle just yet, because that's like you need a lot of hard data to like prove that. But what he did say I thought was interesting is like for the stock market, overall macroeconomics, like for people to invest into crypto, like you have to have like strong earnings. And right now, I think those earnings have been kind of minimal. And I think like strong earnings are going to come more so in 2026 than what we thought was going to happen at the end of 2025. But they did say like the Trump administration and the Trumpers, they were saying that like, or I think his son was saying like, we'll have a strong, like, you know, economic boom in 6 months, and 6 months actually was like in 2026 in like Q1. So we could see some light there. I do think 2026 is broadly going to be a, you know, kind of sideways year to the maybe end of the year. We'll see. We'll see what, you know, I think there's just a lot of lag right now with the Fed cutting rates. You usually don't see those trickle down for like several months. You know, you push, that has to be pushed out. It's more of like, hey, if they cut rates, we're not going to feel that for a while. And that's, I think, being priced into the market and why we haven't seen like things just rip through the roof. And then Larry Fink from BlackRock was saying like Bitcoin, in his view, is actually a hedge against like risk, or a hedge against the economy itself. So if Bitcoin is doing great, that means the economy might not be doing so great. And it's interesting he said that, because he's obviously like the CEO of BlackRock. So it's kind of a big deal. He was sitting actually next to Brian Armstrong, like a CEO of Coinbase, when he said that. So I was like, I wonder if Brian's going to be like, yo, this is not necessarily what Bitcoin is meant for. Bitcoin is meant for sovereignty and like a lot of other interesting things, on the Satoshi white paper, for example. So yeah, I thought that was like an interesting thing to say, but I do agree with like the overall like macroeconomics of things. You know, people have to have a lot of extra money in to throw into crypto. With COVID, we saw the, you know, stimmy checks come out, and you know, a lot of people are investing their money, their extra money into crypto. So maybe when we get those like Trump stimmies, then maybe we can see a crypto boom. So we'll see.
It looks like the next version of stimmies might be like, because they just saw that everybody like gambled it away last time they gave out the stimmies. So our newest version of it really might just look like tax credit, or like something that has to be used towards like a very specific task. I have the ETF inflows and outflows charts up right now. You can see those numbers that we just saw of the graded from CoinMarketCap when they said that there's 222 million in net inflows. And go back to DeFi Llama, and that checks out December 10th. There was indeed $223.5 million in inflows. That brings the total to $98.73 billion. And whereas Ethereum has only seen $57 million. Well, they saw $57 million yesterday, and they've seen a total of $15 billion in inflows. So I am interested to see today's numbers, because that was from December 10th, how those are going to check out. Because yesterday was so strong, yet today we're kind of back to where we started, as I said. And you're talking about BlackRock. I mean, out of all those inflows yesterday, 192 million of them. So 70, 80% of those was actually BlackRock by themselves. Fidelity coming in behind them. So BlackRock is super bullish, which is a good thing. I want BlackRock to be bullish on my assets, but that's just some numbers for you.
They want to control it, man. I don't know. They could be pushing the market down to force Michael Saylor and MicroStrategy to sell some of their Bitcoin, so they can be like the dominant player. But yeah, there's stuff behind the scenes. Well, you never know. You know what goes on. The stock market can be a very, corporate greed, place where you see those type of things happen, like the whole GME thing years ago, where companies were shorting it to make a bunch of profit in order, to obviously, like, that would have bankrupted GME or GameStop. So and the opposite happened. So I think the same thing could be playing out here with MicroStrategy. It's possible, especially all these like new DATs and new treasury companies. Like, there could be a lot of people said it was a bubble that was going to burst, and I feel like some of it did. So I think we're seeing a lot of that play out as well. So I think this is a part of the overall growth of Bitcoin. I think, companies will survive. I think survival of the fittest is playing out before our eyes right now too. So it's like corporate type of stuff we're seeing in crypto now, and not just like, it's not, just gradual upward. It's going to be choppy and then kind of gradually go up. I don't know. It's very interesting. It's like mimicking more stocks than anything else, like right now.
It is. That's why, like, when like CEO of BlackRock says like, oh, well, when the economy is worse off, Bitcoin will be stronger. I'm a little skeptical, just because Bitcoin has followed stocks and especially like AI trends and tech trends so hard, really forever. But especially this year, it seems more and more tied in with the rest of the economy. So.
Yeah, we're also getting a bunch of follows on the arena. So shout out to everybody there. We're up to 25 follows already. Alam, Rut, Tania, DHKDH, Shamim, thanks for all the follows. PK, CFR, thank you guys for all the follows. BMAC.
Appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. Yeah, definitely we'll start streaming on the arena more often. We are live once a week on Thursdays, which I know isn't super frequent, at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Catch us then for sure. And there's still a lot more to go for this. Speaking of which, we're talking about the market taking a hit. Man, one of the hardest things to watch this week was the Doodles Mint. So the Doodles minted these dupies, right? They're between 1 and 3 SOL. It does look like some of the 3 SOL ones are selling for a little higher. And I guess technically they are selling over mint. I didn't check right when they, I guess I can see the numbers right here. But basically, yeah, there was only 8,888 actually bought, but it was way less than that. Like, a majority of that was claimed, and then some of that was from the the team buys. So they actually only raised like 10% of their 3 to 4 million that they were hoping to make. So the mint was really only 10% of expectations. And this is Doodles. I made a long video on this yesterday, like a 12-minute video talking about this. But my argument here is, the obviously Doodles timed the market incorrectly, but like, Doodles has had partnerships with McDonald's. They've had partnerships with Fruit Loops. They've had partnerships with Lil Wayne, Lil Yachty. They've had films win awards. So, like, we're talking about the top Web3 IP here just absolutely gets massacred on their attempted mint. And to me, that just shows that the state of NFTs right now, the users aren't there, and people aren't wanting to buy things that they can't speculate strongly on. So when you have a 25K supply at a one sold mint, people clearly are like, well, I can't make profit on this probably. So they're just not going to mint it. But even with it, even with all that being said, with Doodles being who they are, this is kind of sad to see. Do you have any thoughts on the whole Doodles thing?
I mean, it's super high supply and the market isn't ready for that. You know, I think like they dropped it during a time that's like tumultuous and like the market's up like super sideways and choppy. And yeah, people just don't have like a huge appetite for NFTs currently. Now, if this was like a super lower, you know, the supply was much lower, might have been a little different. But yeah, not everybody's necessarily sold out on the Doodle IP itself. Like you said, I think a lot of it has to tie in with like, can I make money with this? And, you know, I might become a collector, but I have to feel like this is going to be like a value add to my portfolio, you know, versus like my collection. Collectors are built over like a long extended period of time. And this collection could do well long run. Like if they like, it says there on the supply on this page, like 8888, and maybe they cut that supply and now they're just going to roll with that.
Yeah. I don't know the exact decision, but yeah, there's 25K, but I think they just cut it and probably rounded up because there was less than this. Yeah.
So this could end up turning like with good time, this could actually become a decent collection, but we'll see. I don't know what it's going to be. And so I don't, you know, Doopies, I'm not sure. It's just a collectible, I think, as far as all we know.
They did cut supply. So you can see Burnt Toast here saying we cut supply 8888 Doopies. Mint closes in 5 hours. All 150 one of one still in play. Too good to kill. We overshot demand. And of course, correction is healthy. These characters are essential to the brand. OGs, if you missed the regular window, we got you reopening the window. More on that soon.
So I think this is a step in the right direction for this collection. I think that it kind of mitigates some of the, you know, FUD out there that I've seen.
Yeah, and there was a lot of it.
Yeah, there's a ton.
That's pretty much doing as much damage control as you can possibly do. And they're just having to, you know, suck up the fact that they're missing out about 70% of what they could have got.
Yeah, and hey, like teams mess up every once in a while. I think Doodles is one of the greater IPs in Web3, so it's not like I'm out there like rooting against them by any means. I want IPs like this to succeed. And if it is a pure cash grab, I think it is something to call out. But I think that wasn't it. I think they just thought like, and maybe it was. I don't really know. Maybe it was somewhere in between. But yeah, again, teams make mistakes. You got to fail forward. And I think cutting supply, capping it at 8888 was a good move in the right direction.
Yeah, it's really hard to say with this stuff because to me, I would like to believe it's not like a cash grab in the sense of they're making all this money just to go put it in their pockets and live lavish lifestyles. I would like to believe that. I don't know for sure. I would think it's more so like, hey, we have this, and maybe they should have thought of other ways to raise funds, but like maybe they have a deal with Walmart to get there or to get like a toy manufacturer to get Doodles toys in all Walmarts. And it's like, yeah, but we need 3 or 4 mil for this deal. And then it's like, okay, well, we're already going to mint a secondary collection anyway, so we'll just use that. Like, that's kind of how I view it. But again, like, I don't know because I'm not on the Doodles team. I'll say from being on teams who have raised money from mints, there's not as nearly as much pocketed as you think. Most of the people are working like 50 to 70 hour weeks, getting paid like what you would get paid or less, way less than like a teacher. And then you're like, have people screaming, oh, they're living lavish lifestyles or whatever. But a lot of times it's all that goes back into the business. And when you're trying to be like something like Doodles, so even AI has probably made this a lot easier, but before AI in the last 2 years, some people had to pay $20,000-$25,000 a month for an AI for an animation studio to make like animations. And a lot of these top companies that are IP are still paying for those because their AI is still not there to where it's making that quality level animations yet. So it's like a lot of it goes back into the company, back into the business. But again, I can't say that for sure because I don't know how Doodles works. I do know how the team side works. And I can say from experience, we're not eating like you think we're eating. Now, granted, I haven't raised, you know, nearly like Doodles. I want to say they've raised over $100 million. But yeah, just a little.
Yeah, we don't know the overhead. I mean, it's an operation that costs a lot of money to run in crypto. Like, you have to be at all the events, you got to put on your own events, you got to pay your staff. Like, by the end of the day, like, everybody's making like minimum wage or less, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think we covered this enough, man. I hope to see NFTs come back. I don't know what that's going to, it's probably going to take retail interest more, but I think the last thing I'll say is a lot of people got burnt by meme coins, so they don't have money anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to share my screen now real quick. All right, so we got a little shout out from the founder of Arena. So I just want to point that out. Appreciate the support. We are much appreciative of that. More streams coming up each day. Congrats. We'll check out some of the episodes. So thank you so much for the tweet. And then, yeah, I guess.
Shout out.
yeah. So there's a lot of other interesting news going on in the space. This one is just a quick one. Hopefully this will be Avalanche token soon, too, because if you go to Coinbase and you go to cash out, actually Avalanche is like the fastest option for USDC. And I think that's like showcases Avalanche's tech. Like, it's even faster than Solana to cash out USDC on Coinbase than it is. So I thought that was a really cool thing. But Solana, you'll be able to instantly trade 100 million users on Coinbase, like every Solana token. So that I thought was pretty cool. I don't think that's going to be bullish for like every single token on Solana. So I just think it's interesting, right? I think more chains they add, the better. Another really interesting one is like leverage trading with Polymarket positions. So I don't know if I'm bullish on this one, considering I feel like leverage is what made the market blow up a couple months ago. You know, especially around 10:10, everybody was like highly leveraged and bullish. And then the whole glitch happened where, you know, it didn't price, like the pricing feeds were wrong and it like liquidated everybody. So I thought that was like a very bullish or bearish thing. But yeah, this is like Polygon adding, it looks like Gundor borrowing against your Polymarket positions. I thought this was interesting. So we're going to see the rise of pretty much leverage trading on Polymarket. So if you are winning like let's say a 5-month market, like, is Taylor Swift going to have a baby this year and you're up like 80% on your shares, you can go and actually borrow against those shares and get liquidity out and use it to keep trading like long-term like markets. And I don't know if this is a good thing because this could tank a lot of what is on Polymarket. So I'm not necessarily bullish on this one. This one's more of a neutral. Like, this would have been a cool thing to have like last year before there's like a bunch of like, I don't know, leverage trading on crypto itself. I think it only goes up to like 2x leverage, and I hope they cap it. I hope like platforms don't do like a hyperliquid where it's like 50x or 20x or whatever x, because I think that would really put a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth on Polymarket. Because if we have like a pricing glitch or if there's some crazy event that happens and all of the markets like crash on Polymarket, that's a bad look on Polymarket and prediction markets as a whole. And so I don't know. I thought this was kind of cool, but kind of not. It's just neutral for me right here. But I thought that was a piece of interesting news.
Super degen, man. You're just gonna have to be like, you're gonna have to be like the top like trader to actually execute this type of stuff. Like, to be so confident in your position that you're just gonna keep it open and then borrow that money against it so you can go gamble more. I don't know. This also, one angle of this, man, is this also leaves room for insiders to eat even heavier, because if you're an insider in Google, knowing that Google is going to release the new version of Gemini, you know, next month, you can put all your money you possibly have into that bet because you know for sure, and you could borrow against it, and you could go put that borrowed money in another Google inside trade. And so, like, I feel like this is just going to allow very wealthy people and people that have insider knowledge to like eat even more and it be at even a larger advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. Got a couple more follows on the Arena. Appreciate you everybody for tuning in. What's going on, Bithy? Thanks for all of the new follows. Talhead, Serena, Bithy, Pooh SK. a lot of everybody following us on Arena. Appreciate the new follows. So I just want to give everybody a shout out over there.
Ayo. Yeah, we've been doing this podcast for well over a year. We started during like the last bear market, took a break, and we're back. It's available on all platforms after we're live as well, audio as well. So it's on Spotify, it's on Apple Music or whatever, that Apple Podcast, regular podcast app, all those things. If you just want to listen in, we try to really explain the visuals that we talk about so that it caters to listeners, audio listeners exclusively as well. So yeah, Dijon Dads Podcast everywhere. If you don't catch us live, you can always listen in later. But we're really excited for 2026. We have some big plans coming up, some possible partners that are gonna be on board. So lots going on, man.
Yeah, I got some other updates for airdrop people, unless you got something there.
Go for it.
All right, so this one is from Star Atlas. So they created a SVM. Now, it would have been, you know, I would have loved to see Star Atlas on Avalanche deploy their own layer one, because I feel layer ones with their own dedicated like block space and like all this other stuff, like it would have been a solid move, especially for their golden age game. It's all on chain. So like every move gets logged on the blockchain. But I think they found out, Star Atlas did, that like they have to compete with main layer one block space on Solana. And so what they did is they went and created their own SVM, or it's like basically a layer two on Solana, but you can actually farm it. And so, you know, if you're interested in airdrop farming, this one might be one to look at. I like the Star Atlas team. I met, you know, Matthew Wagner, I believe is the CEO of Star Atlas. I met him in person several times. Great guy. I just think what their team, they're trying to build, is very ambitious. It's hard. It's not going to be easy for them. And I'm always a big fan of like very ambitious teams that like have this huge mountain to climb. And so they went and built their own SVM that you can like farm. It's going to be its own layer two on Solana. But I thought that was an interesting one here. And this whole video covers like how you can farm it. Essentially, like you can go in, play this, their Star Atlas game. It's like their shooter. So if you're into games and you're into shooters, like this one might be for you. You can also go into their marketplace and buy, you know, like ships directly from Star Atlas, and it walks you through that. Like, has to be the blue Star Atlas, like you have to buy direct from them, and then like you can lock tokens to farm it as well, as it's kind of showing here in this video. I think Atlas and Polis you can lock, and then of course playing their golden age game, which again is like pretty much fully on chain. Like every move is logged, like everything you do is on chain. It's one of the first on chain games, and I think of its scale, like one of the most like advanced on-chain games that has still been around. A lot of the on-chain games are like either pixelated, which is fine if you're into that, but it's not really fully on-chain because it doesn't log like every single move, whereas this one is like the whole nine. They went like full out with it, which is why they're probably deploying this like layer two on Solana. And then I think there's the last one to like you can do some DeFi stuff
too. Next, are you opting to play Star Atlas on the
So yeah, so anyways, that's that. And that's kind of how you can farm the airdrop. So it could be worth it. Maybe perhaps not a lot of people are going to be playing, you know, the game that you might have to compete with. So I think it's something that like is going to be an outlier, a nice sweet little airdrop that perhaps not a lot of people might partake in that could be competitive. So this one I thought was an interesting airdrop to especially revolving around a game. And I'm a gamer, so I think this could be a fun one.
So every, like when you're walking, like it's all logged, like on chain, like the steps.
So it's just the golden age game. So this game is like almost like, I don't want to say a board game, but imagine a board game where you have to move your ship from one planet to the next, and you're like constantly trying to discover anomalies, and like you might run into another ship or something like that, or discover new things. So it's more like a very cerebral type of like, game. It's not like your traditional game. It's more like you log moves, and it's like this kind of, you know, galaxy, and you can discover, they actually have like subplanet, like super legendary like ships you can find actually, or like win or something like that in the game. Very interesting, but like all those, you know, like different moves. So your ship, you could like make it move from one galaxy side to the other side of the galaxy, and it'll take like an extended amount of time, but it'll log like every single like plot that you moved the ship. So it's not like a super immersive like game by any means, but for cerebral types that love like these like little mapped out like games where, you know, it's like more like a board, then you might like this one, especially if you can win like legendary stuff in there. In
between. Sure. Yeah, I just like my mind tries to comprehend like why Solana needs an L2, right? Like it's already like fast and cheap and expansive. So
yeah, well, that's the thing is like Solana is going to run into a similar thing with Ethereum, because over time, like you start onboarding like institutions and you start onboarding like games like this, you're starting to compete. Even if it's scalable as it is right now, even with Fire Dancer, you're still having to compete with Blockspace, and it will, like, we know Solana has broken a couple times from congestion and the fees have gone up even just slightly. Like that's not very like bullish for like institutions. So what's going to have, they're going to run into a similar case like as Ethereum, even with their high throughput, that SVMs like Sonic is a big one too. I think Sonic is like a big SVM. And that's what I've been saying for the past couple of years, like layer twos are going to be a thing, and here we are. And I think it's good tech. I don't think it's bad tech. I think it's like for a game like this and that, or like, let's say a game studio that might have multiple titles, they might not want to have to compete with everybody else on the Solana layer one level. Like they're not wanting to be on the same space as like Pump Fund transactions, right? They want their own highly scalable, efficient. I mean, same as Avalanche, like why somebody would deploy an Avalanche layer one is because you're not having to compete with that same block space, but it's even more customizable. You can have validators and extra things than beyond even SVM. So I think it's just different strokes for different folks. They've been on Solana forever, so for them, I think it was a natural move for them. I would have wished that. I mean, I thought Avalanche Layer 1 would have been awesome. I think the tech matches Star Atlas's like games and what they're doing, but. They've been on Solana forever, so I'm not too surprised.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's fair. I feel like that's definitely getting ahead to, like, you know, if Solana doesn't even face like a scaling issue for like, I don't know, 1 to 5 years, some of these L2s might be the L2s for Solana. So it makes sense to try to be early to them.
Yeah, and they can kind of control their destiny, so to speak. So they could onboard other, you know, games to their layer two. So there's like their own benefits of having that. Just like, again, going back to Avalanche layer one, what Beam has done, I think, is really cool. Is a whole game studio. They have a lot of projects going on. They have their AI branch now. They have a sovereign wealth fund that's invested in them, into them. And now they have their own dedicated, like, it's very decentralized. I mean, they had like, I don't even know, like 50,000 nodes. So in validators or whatever, and like some of these Avalanche layer ones have more validators than entire blockchains. And that's, you know, the more validators and more Avalanche layer ones, the more secure the actual top layer Avalanche like becomes, I think is how it goes. So yeah, I'm very bullish on Avalanche long run, because again, like finance side of things, like the transactions are going to be, you know, you have to have a global scale of like your chain has to be globally scalable, like at a global level, not just like, hey, we're just doing crypto and, you know, transferring some money here and there.
Sure. But,
you know, it's going to be high throughput stuff. And yeah. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like it.
But speaking of gaming, what do you think about this one, Chris? Trump's mobile game on Open Loot. So. I don't know about this one, man. I don't know.
Coming soon. Trump. Billionaires Club.
Billionaires Club. Can you hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it.
To hit the App Store. 1 million in prizes.
You want to be a billionaire? Then you need to think like one.
Make every move count. Master the art.
It looks like Monopoly.
Invest smart.
Immersive Monopoly.
Win big. Scale your business empire. And above all, win. So, what's the move? Ready to join the Billionaires Club?
It looks like one of those Instagram ads that I get that's like a random game. You know, there's one particular one that like you're like running down an alley and shooting a bunch of like down the alley and like a bunch of things are running at you. I see that ad everywhere on Facebook and Instagram. This like 100% reminds me of like an Instagram ad for a game. Yeah, I mean, Trump isn't involved with that at all. I guarantee you, like, they probably, like, bought some of his IP or, like, just got his permission to some degree, you know. They even probably use that AI voice to, like, kind of insert into that promo video. It looks trash, bro. I don't know what other way to paint it. It looks bad. It looks like I'm going to lose my crypto for clicking on that right now.
Yeah, it does look like one of those, like, I don't want to say scammy mobile games, because, like, mobile games, like, some people play those, like, scammy looking games and they, like, love it, like the casino type games or, like, whatever. So I don't want to judge a book by its cover, but they had like maybe like 1 second of gameplay in here, like, that I saw, and it wasn't like enough. It wasn't enough to make a judgment. I'm like, man, they should have put, like, more gameplay in here so we know what we're looking at.
We,
like,
go to that website, trumpbillionaires.com or whatever.
Like, Firestorm even was like, on the Open Loop post, was like, no gameplay. You know, that's like a big thing, like, for Web3 games. Like, we want to see gameplay.
Well, if you can't see gameplay, it probably means the game sucks.
But on the flip side of this, though, is it did pick up some FUD, and there's a free waitlist and a chance to get a share of $1 million in Trump coin rewards. So I thought, like, hey, this is an opportunity, because, like, a lot of people are like, this is a scam. But, like, I'm like, hey, like, if they think it's a scam, I might actually play this to see if I can try to win something. But I don't know. We'll see. I thought this was interesting by the Trump meme coin people who launched, you know, Trump meme coin.
Yeah.
You can actually I think you can farm points on their leaderboard. So they do have a leaderboard. You can basically, like, however many Trump tokens you have, I think you can, like, stake it on their platform or something like that. And you, for every, like, you know, X amount of Trump coins, you get, like, a certain amount of points to, like, level up on the leaderboard. So there's, like, an interesting dynamic of that. So we'll see. I don't know. Like, I don't know how I feel about this one either.
I'll join that. I'm always about trying to win the awards, whether they're real or fake. That one's probably real because it's Trump and they probably have the licensing and stuff. So might as well. But yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's not like a game I would normally play. Let's just put it that way. Open Loot, they're like the people behind Big Time Game, by the way. Big Time's economy kind of got, like, bad for a second. I think people are kind of still playing. I don't really know. But they ran into a problem where they needed their own marketplace. They created Open Loot. And I think that's mainly, like, their business now is, like, relying on Open Loot. But I don't know. We'll see.
We will see. Yeah, I'll go get signed up for that later. I got a couple things on my list that I need to do. That's kind of like that.
Yeah. So you got anything else?
I got two things. Yeah. Because we're talking about the airdrops right now, might as well add to the airdrop topic. I just found out about this. You probably already knew about it because you've been an OKX creator for a while. I just got onboarded. That's the first time that's been said out loud. But it's really cool, man, to be able to partner with, like, a legit company that does a bunch of really cool stuff. Well, I just found out that, like, they have these drops, that these, like, airdrops. I'm trying to find the specific one that I'm thinking of. And basically all you have to do is just hold 1K in crypto, and you qualify for a lot of these drops. And one of the ones that I'm not sharing my screen yet. I'm trying to find the specific drop that I'm talking about. They had two in the last few days. I just found that one. The one that I'm talking about is this Say, which is a major blockchain, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sharing my screen now. Yeah, so they're going to airdrop 571,428 Say tokens to be distributed. Mid-flight. These have been distributed already. But basically, all you have to do is hold 1K in crypto on OKX. And opt in, just click opt in. That's it, just like you would for Coinbase things. But to me, this is going to be a lot less competitive because you have to hold $1,000, and it's OKX. So, like, they're still, compared to, like, Coinbase, where, like, everybody's on, you know, like, OKX is still, it's one of the biggest companies out there, but it's still less competition, in my opinion. So I'm definitely going to do this today. I don't have 1K in there yet. I need to transfer 1K into my OKX and just hit opt in for Say. But they literally just did another one. I'm thinking it's the same thing. I could be a little off on this, but You know, they have this 1.5 million Knight token. I haven't done the math on Knight to see how much it would be worth. But this is on X drops. And again, all you have to do is hold 1K. So you might as well just put $1,000 if you have that OKX account. Just opt into this stuff. I mean, it's not complicated. It's more of like a award system than it is like a airdrop per se. But I mean, it is literally airdrop to you. So there's some alpha. That's not.
Yeah, X drops are pretty good.
Yeah, just because Kyle and I are OKX creators, this is not anything to do with our creator partnership. This is literally just me talking about it because I think it's a good opportunity.
Yeah, they're live in the U.S. too, so they like officially went fully live with all their products. Like mostly, I think OKX did. So really cool stuff. They kind of are terming CDFi, so they're like both a centralized and a DeFi through their wallet.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that.
Honestly, that's like the best competition for Coinbase right now. Like, I think what they're doing is very cool. I've always been a big fan of OKX. They've always been pretty consistent, and they've like over the past couple years have dropped like really good products, like no cap, you know?
Yeah, I think so as well. So I'm excited to see this. I had this earlier. I'm just going to breeze over it, but this basically Arthur Hayes saying that, all L1s are going to zero except for Ethereum and Solana. I thought that's kind of interesting.
Arthur Hayes, man, he's been so like either love or hate the guy, because one of the things he got into was Monad, and people were like, oh crap, like he's in Monad, like he's just gonna like dump and it's gonna like send the token to zero. So people were, you know, some people love his take, some people don't. I mean, he's just like one of those guys. The more I look at it, I used to really value his opinion, but I think as time goes on, it feels a little like a shill, a little bit. Like he's just pumping his own bags.
A lot of these people are, man. A lot of these people are, and you don't really find it out till later on. But yeah, I just thought, you know, I thought it was interesting that he would say that. I disagree, right? We're live on Avalanche right now, basically. I mean, I know the arena is cross-platform, whatever. But, you know, AVAX isn't going anywhere, in my opinion. I'm still bullish on quite a few L1s that aren't, you know, Ethereum and Solana. Polkadot. I even think Cardano has its reasons, although I don't like the smart contract side. But, yeah, I thought that was worth bringing up.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of layer ones out there, like people use for like business, like for like real world use cases. Like there's like Render, for example, that's like cloud compute, cloud rendering, stuff like that, that like never going to go away. There's like a bunch of other like what I guess you would call a layer one. So I think there's just like a lot of real world use cases that are like hyper specific that like very much will never go away.
Yeah, I agree. And then AVAX definitely being one of those. All right, two things left real quick. Just want to give a shout out to our school community. This is really for people that aren't super Web3 native, but it's also for like the degens that are in the trenches as well. But we give like weekly analysis. Actually, this week I gave a pretty good call on ETH. I talked about the staked BlackRock ETF, and this is when ETH was under like I think it was at like 2,800. It went up 9% the day afterwards, and then it went up to 3,500 yesterday. So I mean, ETH went from like 2,800 to like 3,400 from that call. So that was pretty nice. We have an entire classroom dedicated to like getting people onboarded to crypto as well. And this, again, this podcast is across platform, so I'm not even speaking to a specific platform here. If this is something that would benefit you, we'd love to have you. If not, that's fine. It's just DGMDads at school.com, or it's specifically, yeah. And we also have like, so there's different tiers of it. There's free and there's paid. On the paid one, we have an alpha chat with a Discord as well. But also just the free tier, get you in the community. You can do your own post, your own analysis, talk about the tokens you're looking at, talk about the things you're looking at. Would love to have you. We have 121 members already. So that's awesome. It's me, Kyle, and our friend Cryer that really run these market analysis. Cryer does some really high level ones on the market as well. And yeah, so would love to have you in that. Anything on that, Kyle, before I switch over?
No, join the school. It's free. I mean, you have nothing to lose.
I want to rip one BZ Claw. We talk about RWAs all the time. BZ is a platform that we've used a bunch. We always feel like we have better results on BZ. So I want to go ahead and rip one.
We love the BZ fam.
I saw they just restocked their claws. So this is a $50 claw. The average value is $55, and I could get up to a $1,611 card. I would love to get this Mew though, dude. The $1,600 Mew. Wait, that one's actually, yeah, that one's barely more expensive, but I'd be tempted to keep this Mew, bro. It's such a beautiful card.
Oh, it's so clean, dude. It's clean. I've been eyeballing that Mew for a while.
I kind of want to get like a lower priced one, like a PSA like 7 or 6, and just to keep it. Because if I pull one that's like $1,600, it's like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, take that PSP.
Yeah, especially with the Pokemon market's pretty high right now. It's pretty hot. Yeah. I'm not going to say it's frothy, but it's pretty hot. So
yeah, but like I've called that though. Like with all these RWA platforms, people are I had a conversation with Min on Twitter, and I was like, "Are you like?" He was like, "I don't know. It's toppy. Like this is the top, but like it hasn't like with these RWA platforms. Like I don't know so much. These platforms, I think." Are still like they have a good chance of going mainstream, like just like Polymarket.
Yeah, and then like you have things like the Kabuto guy, a Kabuto King, who is collecting all the first edition Kabutos. And he ended up signing and selling a Kabuto card for $51,000 that Logan Paul bid on live. What stops people from doing that? Like from just like nothing. You know, yeah, and it's like even if it's manipulated, it's still like this is a cool card.
He can
even
burn the Kabutos.
Yeah. It's a 2019 Japanese Full Metal Wall Blastoise PSA 10, baby. I don't really collect newer cards. This one is tempting, but I'm going to swap that baby back. This was $10 over my buy-in. The last one was like $15 PSP, under. Baby. Yeah, yeah. I'll pull one more, and we could probably call it a third time's a charm. Let's see the recent pulls. The recent pulls have been pretty average, so nobody's pulled like an absolute banger today until this pull right here. This one right here is going to be the banger. Let me I thought I had it.
I listed my Gengar Mimikyu on the marketplace. I got an offer for it yesterday, but it was like, yeah, super low ball offer, so I'm gonna keep it, or at least I'm not gonna like go for that offer. Zapdos, not bad. Okay, yeah, it's a beautiful card. Zapdos. Yeah, it's a beautiful card though, the gold.
Yeah, that is
I've never seen that in Zapdos before.
All right, cool.
I'm an old school guy. I mean, I love all the old school Pokemon.
Yeah, same. Of course, Zapdos is an OG, but I've never seen that one either.
Yeah, the Zapdos OG card was one of my top like five favorite Pokemon cards of all time. I don't know. I was a big Zapdos fan. I had Zapdos in the game, and I love to use him as my like lineup and my to battle people with.
Oh yeah, he was pretty good battle Pokemon back in the day.
Dragonair.
Fun fact about Zapdos that I surprisingly remember. A lot of times you could not use legendary Pokemon in competitive play, but you could use Zapdos in competitive play. I guess because the way that the moveset and the IVs and the EVs worked out, but Zapdos was actually allowed, whereas like you Articuno and Moltres weren't allowed. I don't know how in the world I remember that. I just remember running that at some point.
The three legendary birds, but they let Zapdos in there.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We're pretty much at that hour mark. We talked about a heck of a lot. Follow us on whatever platforms. You know, we got Kyle Wilson, Chris Coffee. It's pretty straightforward on Twitter. DJ and Dad's podcast across all audio and really a lot of video platforms. If you want to catch the whole video on recording, that'll be on YouTube. We also cut a lot of these videos into either shorts or their own dedicated videos. Like when Kyle was talking about the Solana L2 Alpha, I'll probably have that as his own video as well. That's pretty much it. Thank you, Arena. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Janet. Just joined. Mid-Rassel said, "Welcome, Kyle." Thank you all that tuned in from the arena. 177 people, Kyle, from the arena. That's awesome. We love you guys. We thank you very much. We'll definitely add the arena to our live streams now because you guys had stellar support. And we hope that you guys have a great day, great rest of your weekend, and peace out.
Peace.